World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, we had a great weekend. I gotta tell you, we had a great weekend. I met a lot of new friends. Well, I think they're friends. Potential friends. And saw a bunch of old friends. And I'm gonna tell you, I know it sounds repetitive. Folks, if you can get to these huddles, get to them. Oh, my goodness. I look at Myra. There was Myra. She was there all weekend. And then she's up bright and earlier this morning. She rode down with Lori. And Steve Deck was there. See, as soon as I start naming names, I'm going to forget. I saw Gary Donahoe. I hadn't seen Gary, and I don't know. Gary shows up. And Clay. And stop it, Coach. You're going to forget people. I don't know what it does for you. It just does my soul so much good. It just does to be able to see you guys and fellowship with you guys. And not only that, the way when you guys come, like folks, we had a great event. Bobby Lee did a great job of setting up the event in Millersburg, kind of in the Amish country out by Harrisburg. We had 100 people, maybe more than 100 people. And it happened because Bobby was able to connect with a Pennsylvania Brett, Ohio Brett. Sorry, we got a Pennsylvania Brett too. He connected with Pennsylvania Brett, and Pennsylvania Brett connected with Pastor Ben Brown. And ooh, the rest, as you say, is history. And it was a great crowd. And, you know, Pastor Ben said Sunday morning that he came to the event to hear a political message. And he was shocked that he heard a spiritual one. And I thought, is that ever a mic drop? Now, what he meant by a spiritual one was, again, as John Diamond does so well, and all the guys associated with it, the mixing, the blending together of why Christianity is the salt of the earth and why it should be impacting the culture and why we've lost it. And John, I see John Diamond's in here this morning. John, I'm telling you, man, if you'd had 100 books, you'd have sold them on Sunday morning, because people are hungry. And when John got done talking about, you know, Americanism and government and appeal to heaven, their heads are just spinning. They're thinking, how did we forget this? How did we get in the position that we're in where we've, what's going on? And I also want to really, really encourage you. America, at least Pennsylvania, is full of some really, really good Americans, man. Some really, really salt of the earth, Christian America. Don't lose heart, baby. Don't lose heart, guys. If we can ever get it organized and put together and get a good strategy, we're still in good shape. And, you know, most of what we hear, especially through the media and, dare I say it, through other ministry, whatever that word means, we hear a lot of doom and gloom. You know, we're told by that great theologian, Sir Isaac Newton, I believe it was him, who said that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. If evil's flourishing, boys, I got to tell you something. Good's right around the corner, and it's going to be a powerful wave of good that's going to come. And even though that doesn't line up with some of our theology, I'm telling you, I believe revival is at the door. And you know, we got at the end of the show. I think it was on Friday. Just bear with me here. Let me get this off my chest. We got in a little bit of, you know, this guy said this and this guy said that, talking about some national guys, some things that they say, doom and gloom. And listen, guys, are you sitting down? Doom and gloom might be a good thing. It might be a good thing. See, we're looking at it from a natural perspective. Say, oh my goodness, the economy's going to crash, and oh my goodness, they're going to come and lock us all up, and I mean, a lot of doom and gloom. But you know, that might be a good thing. From a spiritual standpoint, might be a good thing. And if we just take Newton's law, I think it's a second one, I don't know, that if evil is really on a full court press, man, the good guys are huddling up too, and they're getting ready to come out and push back. So I am and continue to remain excited about where we are, what's going on, and I said everywhere I go, we're going to win. Guys, listen, we're going to win.
Amen.
If you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're right. And I'm going to endure to the end. I'm going to occupy till he comes. I'm going to push back against the forces of darkness as hard as I can. And then I'm going to let the chips fall where they may. But I'll be daggone if I'm going to sit around and be doom and gloom that we're going to lose. I just won't. That's the way I am. So before I get going here too deep, I'm going to give some of you guys maybe a chance to come in here. Put up Pastor Ben Brown there. I see this calendar. I want to go to Pastor Ben Brown, and I just want to acknowledge Pastor Ben Brown, because he is one of, you guys know this, right? That we try to go around and we try to put these conferences on or these little huddles on wherever we go. This dude right here called Pennsylvania Brett. This is a different Brett. Pennsylvania Brett White, and said, hey, I've been kind of out of the game here, but we better wake up and we better get organized. And so Pastor Ben not only opened his church, not only opened the fellowship hall in his church, invited other people, and this is the rarity. He sat there the whole time. And he listened to John Diamond's two presentations, and he listened to David Arthur's presentation, and he listened to my presentation, and he listened to, I'm probably forgetting somebody else. He was there the whole time. Most times, if a pastor lends us his church, rents his church to us, he goes and plays golf or goes in his prayer closet and hides or something. I don't know. Ben sat there the whole time, the whole daggone time. And I know he was impressed and impacted. And it's like so many people said when it was over, wow, Joe should have been here, and Tommy should have been here. I should have brought Bill. You should have, and Cindy should have been here. It's always the reaction when they're over. Now I'm gonna ask right now. There's a lot of people watching right now. You guys got a pastor like that? Let's get something going in your church. Let's get something going in your church. Find. There's got to be some good ones out there. Got to be. And they say, well, you know, Coach, I can't go to my pastor because, God, you know, that takes a lot of money to. Hey, folks, pass the salt. Funded the whole thing. Now, we fund it through donations. You guys make it possible. But we're not going to come to your church and make you feed everybody. You can if you want to, but you don't have to do that. Open up the church and invite people to come in, and let's get a little bit of merging of church and state. Let's fight back a little bit on this. So Ben and the folks at Regal's Bible Fellowship, out in the middle of nowhere, beautiful church, Amish country, dodging horse and buggies everywhere you go. Those folks are awake, man. And Ben's awake. And so Ben's probably not watching, but I salute you, Ben. I salute you. God, let's find some more of these guys. Let's network these guys together. Because what a powerful army. I'm going to let somebody want to come in here. I don't know if I saw Larry was in earlier, and I was rattling my chops, and they took it down. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, you were talking about the doom and gloom may be good for us. You know, Jesus said, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? It may be doom and gloom on the economic points and things like that, but those are worldly matters. There's more important stuff going on when God chastises a nation. There's more important stuff going on, and you bet that's better for us in the end.
That's right, Larry. Maybe a financial collapse will drive us to our knees, huh? Maybe that would be a good thing. And I'll never forget a pastor, longtime pastor Rod Parsa, as a young Christian, And I'll never forget him from the pulpit one day saying, the biggest problem in America is this ungodly affluence. Man, is that ever it. We got too much stuff, don't we? And then we end up getting too much stuff, and then that stuff's got us. And because we get comfortable and, we lose the fight. And Pastor Ben gave me a word I'm going to start using. And I think this is a good hook we can all hang our hats on. Pastor Ben told me he liked me because he says, you're an evangelical redneck. And I thought, baby, that'd be me. That is me. I'm looking for some other evangelical rednecks. Anybody with me out there? So next time you hear me say that, I'm going to use that a lot. You know that I got it from Pastor Ben. And you know what else? Other evangelical rednecks are looking for evangelical rednecks, right? That's what we're looking for here. Guys who love the Lord and are sick and tired of what's going on. Come on in, David Arthur. You did a great job this weekend,
David. Good morning. Thank you. You know what? It's through persecution that the church has ever grown, right?
And yep.
We are a spoiled, rotten, entitled nation that needs a serious whooping, a serious spanking.
We're going to get one, yeah.
Amen. And that's what we need. And it's through that persecution that the church will grow, right? That the goat will be separated from the sheep, the chaff from the wheat.
Yes,
and
sir.
Then it's that growth that will end the persecution. It's that growth that will end the persecution. That's how we win.
David, I heard a testimony of some, I think it was South Korea, Southern Korea, maybe it's a pastor who had been through some real, real persecution, like having his fingernails pulled out, that kind of stuff, you know? Mm. And they were talking to him about what he'd been through. And he said, persecution, good for the church.
Amen. Amen.
Persecution, good for the soul.
Amen. So, I'm just getting up and say thank you. Thank you to Bobby Lee, thank you to P.A. Brett and Tammy and Pastor B and just everybody. It was John, thank you.
It was amazing, man.
It was so amazing. People were amazing. There was nothing like it for embracing this. I mean, look at the spectrum of stuff they were faced with, and they embraced it, and they were head on. And they're dealing with these issues right there in their own congregation.
Yes, sir.
Every single one of them, including the LGBT, they're dealing with it right there.
Yep.
And that was the amazing part.
And Pastor Ben wasn't afraid to take it on. And by the way, it wasn't just filled with his congregation. That wasn't what it was. He opened his church up. A lot of his congregation probably didn't come, but others did.
I just wanted to say before I bounce off of here, I'm getting back on the road, but he didn't just open up his fellowship hall. He opened up his sanctuary on Sunday morning.
Turned it over to us.
Dave and to me. That's unheard of.
Yes, sir. It is. So God bless Ben. And if you guys are out there and you're in an area and you think you got yourself a good pastor, let's get one of these things organized, because people are perished for lack of knowledge. People want to know. And then when people come and they hear, they can't believe how much they didn't know. That's just the truth of it, man. Foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? And John Diamond goes through that, you know, that Americanism thing. And you can just see they're clicking. You can see seventh grade social studies clicking in their head again. Yeah. Say, yeah, that's right. That's right. So I don't want to berate it. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but man, it was a blessing. Come on in, Ohio, Brett, and then Jeff Nell.
Hey, I can't wait to meet PA Brett and Coach Dave. Great job last night. I watched your Facebook Live later. Bobby Lee, way to light him up. Clay, I saw you. Myra, I saw you. God bless you, spiritual warrior.
Yes, man.
Have a great day, guys.
Brett, I'm telling you. Listen, you don't think that Myra brings encouragement when she comes. She doesn't say much, but she's there, man. You know she's got your back.
She's amazing. I'm encouraged, Myra. Love you. Love you, Myra.
She's waiting to swat down anybody that opposes us. She's there lurking. She and Lori rode together. Steve Deck drove over twice. Oh, my goodness. I saw Rusty came in. Craig came in. They just came and came and came. And you guys are amazing. John, you got any comment you want to make, John Diamond? Because, John, you know, it's his home state. Pennsylvania is his home state. I told a joke Saturday morning, one of those days. I said, I'm sorry if I look tired. I was up all night. I made a deal with myself that I would not go to sleep till I saw Joe Biden sign. And never did see one the whole time I was there. Never saw Joe Biden. Trump sign's still up, still painted on barns, all that stuff, right? John, do you want to say anything, man? I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
No, brother, I was actually encouraged. I mean, you know, I ran for governor here in 2016, at least tried to get the petition started. And after I got done talking, man, I don't know how many people came up to me and was like, man, you need to run for governor again. So be praying about that. I think that's something I'm going to be doing, since I got a lot of pretty high contacts in the faith community in this state. But then I went to a meeting last night here in our local community, has a bunch of people together. And this guy, local business owner, came in and said he was going to be running for governor. And I just sat and listened. This guy has zero idea what he's talking about. He has no idea what government is supposed to be like. He really has no idea what Christianity is supposed to be like. And it was just amazing how ignorant people are. And his heart's right. I mean, he's not a bad person. It's just, he has zero idea. You're going to run for a position and you have no understanding of what even the position entails. So we're going to be setting up some constitution classes here in our town. And I recommend you guys end up doing the same wherever you're at. I'm affiliated with David Barton's organization. You can get your churches in there and hold these constitution meetings, get people woke up and informed. And once they are, then you can bring Coach's crew back in.
Hey, so listen, if you're sitting and you're faithfully part of a fellowship and you're doing your tithing, and you're dropping your money in that bucket, don't you think you ought to have some say with your pastor? Don't you think you ought to be able to go up to your pastor and say, hey, pastor, when are you going to teach us a little bit about Americanism? When are you going to teach us a little bit about our Christian heritage here, pastor? Are you going to let us sit here and watch our country be destroyed because the people don't know what's going on? People don't understand government. Hey, pastor, when are you going to help train us? When are you going to do that? We have to start putting pressure on these guys, because I know this. They don't want to make a move because they don't know where everybody stands in politics and making people mad. And, Lord. So, come on, man. Let's get moving. Myra, come on in. And then Jeff Nell. Go ahead, Myra.
Yes. Good morning, saints. I feel so blessed. I feel renewed after spending this weekend with Pastor Ben Brown. And the wife is lovely, and just spending time with my brothers and sisters, it was just a beautiful time, and I'm so grateful to the Lord. Thank you.
Myra, we're so happy you're with us. You're a sweetheart, baby. Don't ever think you don't matter. Jeff Nell, come on in.
Hey, Coach, we feel a lot of challenges ahead. I went to make it real quick. I was at a church yesterday, which I'll never walk in ever again. I was talking with a young pastor who spoke as a guest. He's from Missouri, and the lady pastor came over and blocked me. She would not be talking about, what about the children, the city council, and all this stuff. Where are the pastors? And she came in and blocked me.
Yeah, she's running interference for the devil. They don't even know they are. God bless you, man. Keep after it, Jeff. Hey, listen, some stuff I got to get to here real quick. I hate to do this update stuff, but I have to. I want to know, hey, Ray, did you have a huddle? How'd your huddle go, Ray? You up there? Are you there, man?
Yeah, hey, I'm here, Coach. Yeah, it was good. Got better than the last one we did 2 weeks ago. More people got involved. We had about 15, and I finally connected with Leo Rutledge, who's been anxious to get some fellowship in. I mean, that guy's red pilled. Oh man, he was on fire and excited to be part of it all. And I introduced him to a couple other people that we knew in the Minnesota area. So there's some connections being established. So this is a good thing. Listen, people don't be afraid to jump into the water and test this out.
Listen, despise not the days of small beginnings, folks. Don't worry about how small it is when you start out with it. Appreciate you guys up there, Ray, man. You've been a faithful old dog. I could go on. So many of you guys, I could do a show on so many of you guys and what you've meant to what we're doing here. And you're one of them, Ray. And I tip my hat to you and Jane, and God bless y'all. Coach Norm's getting a little huddle going here on Tuesday, a little video huddle. So some of you will be getting emails about that. Jump in there with him. Mike Blake, God bless our friend Mike Blake. I got a text from him. He had some surgery and a new tube. He had two tubes put into his lungs. One of them he got removed. And then I got word this morning that he had one of his lungs is a bit collapsed, so they still couldn't remove the other tube yet. But he had a bad night last night, pain and all that stuff, but he's getting better. Keep praying for Mike. What a warrior he is. And I think I told you last week he put on 20 pounds in water weight. His kidneys weren't functioning and all that stuff. And I think Mike's situation, I think they got off a bad start with him a month ago when it first hit him. They misdiagnosed it or whatever, but Mike's coming back strong. So God bless him on that. Russ Dizdar, now listen, it is all set. Now, we don't have it set up here on the screen yet because I was talking to Gary yesterday. We have to finish up some issues. We got a reduced rate at a hotel. We've got Dizdar and his crews coming in. We got a location. And, folks, you wouldn't believe the behind-the-scenes stuff we have to do. Get a big one like this gone. And I can tell you right now, so you can start saving your money, if you are in person, all of our expenses and everything, renting buildings, yada, 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 it's going to be $100 per person in person. We're going to do it's going to be a 9-hour intensive spiritual warfare training followed by some personal deliverance ministry stuff. So Friday, 3 hours Friday night, 3 hours Saturday morning, 3 hours Sunday afternoon, and then some ministry in the evening. And that's going to be the 23rd and 24th. The location is St. Louisville, Ohio, which is just north of where we live. Russ Dizdar is going to bring in his about 15 of his team, going to help train us and get us up and running. We're going to stream it for $30. You can watch it right in your house, $30. You can have 10 people over if you want to. Charge them all $3. Come sit in your living room, eat some popcorn, and go through the spiritual training as well. So we're really up and running. Looking forward to that. That's gonna be a big deal. Chad's training. Don't forget about Chad's training. I got to help him a little bit. The Embattled Warrior Special Ops training in Temple, Texas on April 9th. That's not that far. I'm sorry, Chad. That's not that far away. We've got to start pushing that a little bit more. Excuse me. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. It's going to join us next week, and on our homepage under our videos, there is a must watch video of Sherry Tenpenny yesterday. Must watch. Michelle and I were listening to it as we were coming back from Pennsylvania, and Michelle's just shaking her head. Hey, friends, let's ask ourselves this. I don't know if you know this. Marvelous Marvin Hagler, the light middleweight champion of the world for how many years? 6 years? 7 years? He was one of the all-time greats, 66 years old, Marvin Hagler, took the COVID vaccine, dead. Now, they won't, see, folks, the government won't tell us the truth.
It's a joke, Coach.
Folks, people are dying. Sherry Tenpenny, in this video that's on our screen right now, she says there will be a spike of deaths six months out, that this thing, well, watch the video. It's about 20 minutes. It is amazing, right? So last call I saw this morning, I believe it was 696 nationwide deaths directly linked to the COVID vaccine, 696. Can you imagine if that was happening at McDonald's hamburgers? Can you imagine if people were eating French fries at McDonald's and 696 people had died from a McDonald's Big Mac? So they're not telling us the truth, friends. They're not telling us the truth.
She said it was more.
I'm sorry, Joe.
She said it was more.
Oh, yeah, she said they're not telling us the truth. It's more than that. It's more than that. They're lying to us, friends. They're lying to us, okay?
So I think it's about 1,200.
There's your homework assignment for today. Watch it. Just put it on in the background and you know, go for a walk or something. Just let, she just talks. She doesn't show any charts or anything like that. She just talks. She explains the whole thing and why this is not a vaccination. I'm going to say it again. This is not a vaccination, friends. This has never been done to human beings in all of human history, what they're doing to us right now. She's the expert on it. Do this. Also, pray for her, man. I got to believe she's over the targets. pray for Sherry Tinkham.
Coach, yes. Let me correct you. It has happened in history. Times
all right.
Before Noah.
Okay.
Genetic modification, Coach.
That's right. Yep.
And that is the piece that no one is linking. It's exactly what happened before Noah. And God, I think it's because human species couldn't make a viable baby. Our babies are full of autism and all of these things because of the plastics and stuff that Tim and Naomi and radiation. So God has to clean the species in order to make children.
Amen, brother. Oh, my goodness, Mark. It's, folks, listen, I'm not a doom and gloomer, and I'm not fear porn, and I'm not selling you anything. If you have a loved one, watch this video and then share it with your loved one. That's all I'd ask you to do. Sherry Tinpenny, she's not trying to make any money. She's not telling you, selling any voodoo science. She's just telling you the truth. What's in the vaccine, what it's designed to do, and what it's going to do. And then you make your decision from there if you want to take it. By the way, Ohio, Brett, we're an A-plus state, aren't we? 98% we are here in Ohio.
And they're still A-plus, trying, Coach.
A-plus. A-plus. That's right. Man, we got to change our mindset. Listen, I got some folks who want to get in there. Let me run down through this, and I'm going to get to something. Tim and Naomi, come on in. Then Craig.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Real quick, I want to let you know that on this weekend, we discovered a great place to have our group. We're planning on September for our huddle, a weekend huddle. And it's fantastic. And so far out in the woods, there's no wire, there's no Wi-Fi, no cell tower. It's good for us.
All right, brother. By the way, Tim, I did see the email. I didn't get you. Hey, bunch of emails when I go away like that and come back. So I'll try to get into it today, man. God bless you guys for plugging away and keeping after, man. Appreciate you more than you know. Craig, come on in.
Just real quick about Dr. Tinpenny.
Yes.
A voluntary reporting system for adverse reactions. They're extrapolating their data from 10% of the voluntary information they're getting. So you're not even getting a real picture. How many people are dying? And that's what she's saying. The number that you quoted, you can multiply that times 10 because you're getting 10% of the voluntary data. That's the CDC's reporting. That's how nefarious this is.
Folks, please watch the video. Please watch the video. Come on, Kevin. Then Joe and then Larry.
Yeah, Coach. Marvelous Marvin Hagler. He lived up here in New Hampshire.
Yes.
The local news up here is saying that he, get this, died of natural causes.
Oh, yeah, he did.
and they're not even getting on the fact that he took the vaccine. And I'm wondering if they learned their lesson from a month ago when, I can't remember his name, the baseball player, the very famous baseball player.
Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron died of it when he took the second shot. So.
Yep. And so Kevin, I saw that Tommy the Hitman Hearns. I don't know if you guys remember Tommy the Hitman Hearns. He was also a boxer, and he was good friends with Marvin Hagler. And Tommy the Hitman Hearns posted on his Facebook page or Twitter, one of them, whatever. Please pray for my brain went dead. Please pray for Marvin Hagler. He just took the shot and is fighting for his life. That's what Tommy the Hitman Hearns put on his own Twitter, Facebook, or whatever it is. And when you go look up Marvin Hagler today, it won't even mention the fact that he had just taken the vaccination. Folks, there's a cover-up going on everywhere. Thanks for that, Kevin. Joe Allen, come on in then, Larry.
Coach, Carol and I watched Dr. Tinpenny on, she spoke about 1901, where they wanted to start this for deplorables. Where we heard that deplorable
before. Wow.
Where the Spanish flu was the start of it.
Well, that's where we are again, isn't it, brother? Huh? Nothing new under the sun. Larry, come on in.
Yeah. Hey, is it okay? I posted the link to a 1 minute and 49 second video reference the Constitution and all and that in the chat. Get Spencer to play that if you would, please.
Yeah. Pop that up there, Spencer, if you can, real quickly.
Back at 7:19, I believe the time was.
Give him a second there. Folks, Sherry Tenpenny, it's posted at CoachDaveLive.com, along with Bobby Vliet's videos, and he's got a bunch more coming this weekend. I'll shut up. Here we go.
Challenges you to learn more about the U.S. Constitution. Perhaps you are already very constitutionally literate. Then we challenge you to pass on your knowledge to others. During the next 30 days, gather around the kitchen table with your family, friends, and neighbors to study the Constitution and the principles of liberty. Together, you will learn about the principles upon which our nation was founded. You will discover the formula derived to produce peace, prosperity, and freedom. You will also come to understand why our nation is bankrupt and on the verge of collapse. The Constitution alone cannot protect our God-given rights. If we fail to hold our elected officials accountable to the Constitution, it is irrelevant. With liberty comes responsibility. We cannot expect our government officials to do their job if we do not do ours. Besides the reading of books, listening to lectures, and watching video presentations, our program also includes active participation on the part of all participants. The program we offer is exciting and motivational. For those who are homeschooling your children, be sure to engage your entire family in the process. Learning about the Constitution is a fun and exciting adventure that will enable you to help rebuild the foundations that made our country great. To access the absolutely free web presentation of this learning tool, go to www.constitutionalstudies.info. That's www.constitutionalstudies.info.
All right, Larry, thanks. Good work there, man. Good work, Larry. We're always in your corner. You know that. Let me go here real quickly. Hey, this is kind of a cleanup Monday, okay? So bear with me. I'm kind of all over the place here this morning. But our local Newark advocate, pull it up there. It says Hopewell Road, Spencer. About fell over. Well, not really. But this is a local historian, guest columnist. Learn Leper, how the Great Hopewell Road connected the Newark Earthworks with Chillicothe. Now, hang on a minute. Does anybody know what's in Chillicothe, Ohio? Anybody out there know? Why, Coach, would that be the Serpent Mound? Why, yes, that would be the Serpent Mound. And there is such a thing as the Hopewell Road, which was the road that thousands of years ago people used to travel on. And did you know that the Hopewell Road, according to what we're reading here, went from the Newark Earthworks to the Serpent Mound? My. I'm going to try to do something this weekend. Stephanie put me onto this. First day of spring is coming up here, the 21st, right? Whatever. I'm going to maybe try to do a live broadcast from the local earthworks, Circle Mounds, to show you where that sun comes up right in the middle. Wow, it's unbelievable. So anyway, I'm just showing you this. This was up there today. And see, they still want to give all credit to the Indians. This is all Indian mounds, all Indian burial grounds. Man, there must have been a lot of Indians. Must have been a lot of Indians. That's all I know. And we understand the deeper, darker aspects of what's going on. And then I'm going to show you another one. It's amazing how this stuff's happened. So this is our local Newark advocate talking about, see, he doesn't even mention the Serpent Mounds, that the Circle Mounds in Newark go 70 miles to the Serpent Mound. They didn't mention it. He says Chillicothe. It's not connected to Chillicothe. It's connected to the Serpent Mounds where we went. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. And then I'm in Pennsylvania this weekend. And what do I see? Go where it says view zone. I couldn't believe this. Can you make it a little bit bigger, Spence? Horned skull of Sayre, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania Brett shared this with me. Go down about the second paragraph. They discover this right there. Stop right there. Go back up a little, brother. I'm sorry. Okay, right there. We can read it. This exact year is not clear, but during the 1880s, a large burial mound was discovered in Sayre. It was reported that a group of Americans uncovered several strange human skulls and bones. The skeletons belonged to anatomically normal men, with the exception, yeah, just the exception. Otherwise, they're totally normal, with the exception of bony projection located about 2 inches above their eyebrows. In other words, they had horns. It appears that the skulls had horns. The bones were characterized as giant. Otherwise, they're normal. This is a normal discovery other than that. The bones that characterized as giants, and they were representative of people over 7 feet tall. Scientists estimated the bodies have been buried around about 1,200, give or take 2,000 years, right around there. It was not the first time the gigantic horned skulls have been unearthed in North America. During the 19th century, similar skulls were discovered at Wellsville, New York, and in a mining village close to El Paso, Texas. Out your way, Victor! Alexander the Great was depicted on horns on some of his coins in Mosaic times. Watch this. Horns were a symbol of authority and power. Many gods, including Yahweh, Joe, have been depicted with horns. According to the historical accounts, the Sayre bones were allegedly sent to the American Investigating Museum in Philadelphia. However, those things were stolen and never seen again. Wow, huh? Many websites suggest that the objects are of extraterrestrial origin.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Can I add that Alexander the Great is also known as Apollyon the Great Destroyer, which is why he has the horns.
the more you think this stuff is crazy, the more this crazy stuff pops up. You know, it's amazing. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, how about a little update on Sunday morning?
Go for it.
We had you're talking about the persecution and stuff that goes on that we go through. Just I had a couple calls last night. People wanted to know how it went. I couldn't get back to them, but. For the ones that don't know, it's just many of the years of the persecution and just the hammering of our church. Sunday morning, Tom and Tina, the owners of the strip club, came to the church. It was amazing. I turned a corner like we always have done for 16 years. But during them protests, I'd always see that sign out front when I'd pull up when they were protesting our church. And it would always, it said, Pastor Bill and Jeff Klein, the new American Taliban. This Sunday, I get to church, me and Mary Jane walk up, a few other people walk up the front door, and guess, just God's perfect timing, guess who walked up to the door at the same time me and Mary Jane did?
Well,
Tom and Tina. They had smiles on their faces. We shook hands at the front door. I said, welcome. Come on in. We walk in, we go, and people are greeting, and we come up through, and there's some people a little bit not knowing what to say, nervous. You know, and Tom looked a little nervous, so Tina. But we got to walk in with him. Pastor Bill greeted us. We all walked up the aisle. We get up there. Pastor Bill looks at me. He says, hey, look here. He said, we got some other front row guests that want to sit right up here. Tom and Tina standing right there at the front row beside me and Mary Jane. I looked at Tom. I shook his hand. I said, Tom, I said, let me tell you something. During that deal in the courthouse the other day, in the middle of the day, before I knew what your proposal was going to be, which floored us, I said, I looked at them two attorney ladies and I said, you know, I'd like nothing more than to someday have Tina and Tom sitting with me in the front row. And we were, you know, oblivious to what he was going to offer us. That was just something I told them attorneys on how we felt in our heart the 16 years of ministering up at the strip club. So then we're sitting there, we're going through, we're singing. Tina's just a singing away. I mean, Mary Jane said she was right beside her, just singing every song. Then we do the shaking of the hands, people loving on them, shaking hands, hugging them. Then we start in, Pastor Kyle preached. Mary Jane passes over her Bible to Tina. Tina's leafing through the scripture. Mary Jane's helping her find scripture. She's reading the Bible. We get to the end, and we're all talking there afterwards. And Mary Jane's talking to him, and I missed this part of the conversation. She shared it with me. And she was just thanking him for coming and just being cordial to him and loving on him. And Tom looked at her, and he said, well, he said, I'm sure you'd rather see us inside than outside. And she said, oh, yeah. And he said, well, you've all seen the bad side of us. And it was just a great day. They enjoyed it. They're meeting with Pastor Bill tonight. And then we got a little church in the garage. I told Pastor Bill, I said, when you get done with dinner with them, meet with them, tell them come on down to church in the garage. But it was a good day with Tom and team.
Won't it be amazing if that strip club is closed through their conversion? Wouldn't that be something?
That's what we've said. Other than us shutting it down, he'd just say, you know what? I surrender. Let's Amen. Build the park
here. Amen. Good word there, Jeff. Hey, I got to show you a couple things. I'm going to do something spiritual here real quickly, okay? But I got to show you this. These are the kind of things, folks, we have to be aware of. Vi was one of our friends from New York. Brought this. I don't know if you guys can see this. This is a calendar that she picked up at the local library. Okay? I'm trying to look at my screen. And let me get myself up on my screen so I can see how I look here. Not how I look, but Dale, come on in while I'm trying to get myself locked into the screen here.
Brother, man, what an incredible testimony, Jeff. You know, in my spirit, I say, may the Lord turn that place from stripping off clothes to stripping off sin. Amen. Brother, that needs to happen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And their faithful attempt at evangelism has been amazing. So Vi brings this and says, I got to pick this up at our local library. And it's a totally and completely a history of racial justice in America. Folks, this is what they're doing to us, okay? So here it is, and you can flip through, and it's got different pictures of, you know, oops, I just tore that page. Every month's different. It's got something on it. But I got to show you what's really going on here, right? Oh, the back of the bus, the history of slavery in America, yada, yada, yada. Now, let's say today, what is today? Today would be March, what is it? 15th. So I get my calendar hanging on my refrigerator, and I go down to March 15th, and what's it say? Let's see. Why, today in 1713, Tuscarora Indians withstood colonial siege of Fort Niuherkimer in North Carolina Territory for 3 weeks before most of the Indians were burned alive. Now, tomorrow, you want to know what tomorrow is in our calendar? Trying to bring peace to the world, right? What? Tomorrow would be, oh, my goodness, 1995 Mississippi legislature's vote to ratify the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery after having rejected it in 1865. So every one of these days talks about how some black somewhere was persecuted, lynched, whipped. You believe this? You believe this? This is being handed out for free in our public libraries. See, they won't, folks, they will not let us, they don't want unity. They don't want forgiveness. They're still doing the George Floyd thing. George Floyd was a criminal, cokehead. Isn't that amazing?
It's nonsense white guilt, Coach.
Somewhere your tax dollars are at work, somewhere, on this. Stop police killings. A history of racial injustice. Wow. Let me flip here. Let's see what they're right here. Oh, a new era of truth and justice. Coming to a neighborhood near you. Cool. Jim, come on in.
Coach, you got two kinds of people in the world, producers and receivers. And that's it. No colors, no gender, producers, that's receivers. Right. Followers of Christ and non-followers.
That's it, Betty. That's it. And here's what I'm encouraged about, Jim. I think there are more followers of Christ than we know. And I showed you the statistics. I think it was on Thursday or Friday. About 73% of Americans consider themselves Christians. And we are letting them chase us around, whipping us, the atheists and the God haters, chasing us around, making us fall in line, making us put on masks, it is unbelievable. Do you believe Fauci? Anybody think Fauci's a Christian? Would anybody make the mistake of thinking, do you think the guys at the WHO, think Bill Gates is a Christian? Do you think the people at the World Health Organization are Christians? Come on, man. Come on now. Come on in, Bobby Lee.
Well, I spent decades defending the Indians and writing about them until I've been on the receiving end of thousands of comments directed at me and over 80,000 views of that confrontation that took place at the Servant Mounds. And now I understand that just because you say the Great Spirit, that's not a great noble thing, because that's definitely not the God of Jesus Christ. That's right, the God of Lucifer. Let's just call it what it is.
Well, yeah, what spirit, right, Bobby? When people say God bless America, what God? Which one are you talking about here, right? Yeah, and see, we've fallen for that hook, line, sinker, and people rattle off those platitudes and those slogans, God this, God that, and we think they're talking about Jesus Christ. And boys and girls, they ain't. They're not. Come on in, Craig.
We talk like Christians, but we walk like Egyptians.
Walk like an Egyptian. Is that Steve Martin? You guys remember that? Yeah, that's right. We do. So I want to turn scriptural on you here real quick. I don't have a whole lot of time, but I want to make this point with you. If you could, Spencer, pull up Luke 22. I had a chance. I got a chance. It's a rarity to speak at Pastor Ben's church yesterday morning, and I Facebooked it live. I just couldn't get away from it. The Lord wanted me to do it, and so the sermon, folks, is found on our Facebook page, Coach Dave Live. Bobby's going to set it up so we can put it on our homepage. But I want to share something with you here as we go to. Whoops, I got to unplug myself here. As we go to what did I say? Luke 22. Because I asked the guys yesterday when it began. One of the things I did at the beginning, Steve, if you'd have been there, you really would have liked it. I brought all the children up. Now, shame on me. The children had already been released to Children's Church. Let me say this real quickly. I don't agree with that, folks. I don't agree with sending our kids to Children's Church, okay? Learn to discipline your children and make them learn to sit there and shut their mouth during church. That's what my dad did. Dad didn't send us to we had catechism before, but he didn't send us away. We need our kids in. So anyway, I said, well, all the kids come up, and there were only about five or six of them that hadn't gone to Children's Church, but they came up, and I said, look, these kids here, they're counting on us. They're going to live in whatever we lead them. Whatever we do here, these kids are going to live in it. And it's happening right now over the next 10 or 15 years. All right? And then I had the children. I had those kids sit down, and then I brought the men up. And I put the men up and had the men stand in front of the congregation and reiterated that if we sit on our ARSE, if we sit on that, the children are just up here. They're the ones that are going to suffer. And if you're going to sit around and you're going to talk about the rapture and being raptured out of here, God bless you. I hope we all get raptured out of here. Well, what's going to happen to those kids that were standing up here if they're in a rapture 30 years from now? What kind of world are they going to live in? That was the mess. And then I had them sit down. And I turned them to Luke 22, verse 24. Can we go there, Spencer? Again, folks, Bobby will get this posted for us. He was there and he filmed it. And I asked him this question. That's the same question I want to ask everybody watching today. And everybody who goes and sits in a church on Sunday, the question I ask them is, are you converted? Are you converted? No, wait, not saved. Not saved. Because you can be on the team and not all in. You can be on the team, sit on the bench. And most times the guys sitting on the bench are sitting on the bench because why? They're not all in. They're not all in. That's why they're on the bench. The guys who are going to fight and die are probably out on the field. So I asked the question, are you guys converted? And then I shared this with them. This is the night before the Last Supper. And Jesus has all his disciples sitting around with him. You can read it for yourself. But hey, listen, I don't have time to do that, Lord. I asked him to shoot it up on the screen so everybody could read along with me. And you guys, you know what they did? You know what they put up on the screen? Yes, Steve, the NIV. They put the NIV on the screen. I said, oh, no. Because the words are different in the NIV than they are the King James, right? And so I'm asking the question, are you converted? I'll get to that in a second. And so these guys are, Jesus just tells them that one of them is about to betray me. And they said, who is it? And look around, not me. I'll never do it. They began to argue among themselves. Who's going to go do this thing? In verse 24, and there arose a great strife among them. Watch. Which of them should be counted the greatest? Oh, yeah, I did this. Oh, yeah, well, I preached this. Oh, yeah, I went and spoke to the city council. Oh, yeah, well, I went and fed people in Guatemala. So they began to compare their works. And Jesus heard it. And he said, listen, stop it, boys, 25. So the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Meaning, did you sign up for the gospel for what you're going to get out of it? Are you going to get something out of this gospel? Is this gospel about you? Jesus is asking. But he says, look, now don't let it be so, boys. Remember this, that he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, let him be like the guy that serves. Who's greater? He that sits and eats the meal or one that serves the meal? And Jesus said, is it not he that sits at the meal, but I'm among you as a servant? Jesus says, listen, I'm top dog here, and I ain't acting like it. Why are you guys doing that? I ain't doing that. And he said, I appoint unto you a kingdom. There's that word! There's that word! He says, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I have appointed you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed me. And in that kingdom, you're going to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. There it is again. And sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then Jesus turns to Simon Peter, who's the first one, by the way. When Jesus was standing at Mount Hermon, and he says, who do men say that I am? Peter's the guy, first one that spoke up. And what did he say? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, oh, my goodness. How did you know that? Flesh and blood's not received, not revealed that unto you, Jesus said to Peter, but my Father in heaven. So Peter is the first guy to get the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. So Jesus talks to these guys, you know, you're all going to have a kingdom, you're going to rule and reign with me. Then he turns to Simon Peter and he says this. Hey, Pete, verse 31. Simon, Simon, oh, Simon, behold, Satan is after you, dude. And he has desired to have you that he might sift you like wheat. Can you imagine Jesus turning to you and say, hey, dude, you're in trouble. Trouble coming your way, pal. Oh, my goodness. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you that thy faith fail not. Watch this. And when thou art converted. Wow. Peter was saved, wasn't he? I mean, as far as you could be saved at that point, because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet, but Peter was all in, wasn't he? Isn't it amazing that Jesus is talking to these guys about, you know, you guys are in it just for what you can get out of it, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're not like that. And he turns to Pete and says, hey, Pete, listen, man, Satan's after you, and I'm telling you, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny you even know me three different times. Peter says, you're crazy. Ain't that going to happen to me? Not going to happen to me when you're converted. And if we read, and I'm running short on time. And if we read and we follow the story, and you go into Matthew, when the crucifixion takes place, when they come and they arrest Jesus, the Bible shows us that Peter's watching the arrest of Jesus. Peter's out hiding in the peanut gallery, watching Jesus being arrested. By the way, all the other disciples had fled. They were gone, man. When the heat got turned up, baby, they ran for the hills. Except Peter. He kept watching from the distance. He saw them take him in. They saw him charging. Jesus watched all this. And Peter's watching. And he said, man, this dude meant it. This guy really meant it. He really, really is laying down his life. And then Peter ends up where? He ends up around the fire. And why they come on and said, hey, aren't you that guy? You talk like one of those Christians, Pete. Aren't you one of them? What Pete say? Oh, nope, not me. No. Somebody said, oh, yeah. Yeah, you were, because you sound like one of those Christians. Nope, sorry, you got the wrong guy. Got the wrong one. Three different times Peter denied him. And then at the end of that chapter, I think it's 28. Doesn't matter. It said that Peter went out and wept bitterly. I would posit to you. There it is, brother. Huh? Wow. No, that's not it. You're still in Luke. Dare or not. Peter went out and wept bitterly. And I would say to you folks that that was the moment of Peter's conversion. He went from being a convert to all in. He went from putting on the uniform to actually being that strong safety wedge buster. He said, I'm all in now. And the amazing thing is, if you follow Peter in the book of Acts, what did he do? He went and got all those other guys. All those guys that were on the team, all those apostles that ran and hid and fled. Remember what the command charge was? Jesus said, I prayed for you, and when you're converted, do what? Go get your boys, man. Go strengthen your brothers. That's where we are, man. That's where we are. And so the question we have to ask ourselves in the days and hours and times that are ahead of us is, are you converted, man? Are you really in? Are you really all in, or are you just a Christian for what you get out of it? That's where the rubber meets the road. Come on in, Silver.
Coach.
There it is, by the way, Joe. Hang on. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I'm telling you, I don't know him. Cursing and swearing. He wasn't a very good Christian, was he? And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. There was Peter's conversion from partway in to all in. Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say that you're exactly right. That was his conversion. And it was confirmed on Easter morning, what we call Easter, the day after Sabbath, before they could go in and look at the or anoint the body. When he heard that, he went running. He was flying. Okay, he was excited. Many Christians, so-called Christians, who know this story are starting to see the truth of it and starting to see the truth of Christ and who he is. And they are weeping bitterly.
Amen, brother. Joe, that's well said, huh? That's well said. Hey, Larry, it's about making him Lord, isn't it, Larry? And if we would be honest, we've made him Savior. We've made him Redeemer. We've made him all stuff, but we ain't made him Lord. And most of us, we count the cost. You line up in that huddle and you got to run down the field and be a wedge buster. You got to count the cost whether you're ready to throw your body in, let that happen to you. And the truth be told, this challenge of are you converted is not being asked in the church today, folks. Most people are coming to Christ, and we tell them to come to Christ for the benefits that they get. Amen? And greater love has no man than this. And he laid down his life for his friends. And our children and our grandchildren in particular, they're going to live in the world we leave them. They're going to live in a Christian world or a post-Christian world. Despite what we all think God's plan might be, and I hear that too, I want to gag. God's in control. God's got this. All that, all those platitudes and chatter. Folks, as I said the other day, it's a covenant. Jesus laid down his life for us. And the only thing he asked is that we'd lay down ours for him. We just trade. He died for us. Will we die for him? What a time to be alive, man. We'll see you tomorrow.